Question 107. How can you escape damnation? Matthew 23:33. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? When the Savior asked, how can you escape the damnation of hell? The question reeks of hopelessness and despair. It is as if all means of help or hope are exhausted and damnation awaits inevitably. The Pharisees bear a bad reputation, mainly because of the stories contained in the New Testament. If we had lived in the days of Christ and considered ourselves as decent and upright persons who sought good and peace, we probably would have sided with these men of dedication and religion rather than with the 13 zealot upstarts from Galilee. Their notoriety was that they roamed the countryside preaching about how wrong it was to strive for the righteousness of these good Pharisees and how it's wrong to give alms publicly and pray in the streets as the Pharisees did. To the average Jew, the Pharisees were a sect of devout men who loved God and knew His scriptures. The scribes, so often chided by Jesus, were simply men dedicated to copy the scriptures correctly so that His written word would be available to more people in later generations. We owe our own Bibles to some of the men who Jesus condemned and criticized. The Sadducees were also a sect of religious men who only had a different slant on theology and politics. They believed it was okay to involve oneself with the political structure and were left in charge of, or at least had some authority during, the Roman occupation. But these were all men of dedication, men due respect by anyone's standards. Anyone, that is, except Christ's. We need not think that we would be a friend of Christ if we lived in His day. As a matter of fact, many of us have been blessed not to live in the days of Christ, as we would likely have been in the crowd that cried, "Crucify Him!" Is this hard to believe? Can you believe there were people in the crowd that day that had at one time been blessed by the teaching and preaching of Christ? I believe there were people there who were part of the thousands who were fed from the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. No doubt there were folks there who were cured of leprosy from the touch of this man of Galilee. I even suppose there were in the crowd that day some of the 70 ministers sent forth by Jesus Himself with power to heal and cast out devils who now scream out, "Crucify Him." Just days before, the ones who cried, "Hosanna!" are now among these minions of the Sanhedrin crying out, "Give us Barabbas." I do not know that if I had been there in those days, that I would have gone against all I ever knew to be right and just and holy and pious and followed a man who taught against everything my father and his father before him believed. I doubt I would have followed a man who opposed the only church I'd ever known, a man who no one stood beside and declared, "I am with him." Not even his own disciples came alongside to declare their allegiance. I must admit, I, too, may have joined my voice with the angry crowd and said, "Crucify him." We face the same dilemma today. As in those days, we're now a part of a huge church, or at least a religious framework. And when someone declares something to be true that Mom and Pop did not believe, well, that has to be heresy. After all, could someone come against church tradition and be right? Could someone say that the whole church is wrong? Yeah, someone could. But they would likely stand alone, as Jesus did. Is there a difference in the Pharisee of Capernaum and the pastor of First Whatever Church, downtown USA? Is there a difference in the seminary student of today and the scribe of yesteryear? Perhaps a better question is, are there any similarities in the religion of today and the religion of Jesus' day? Really, not much has changed. As in those days, Jesus still condemns hypocrisy, unrighteous living, condemnation of one's fellow man, outward practices that replace inward experiences, signs, symbols, and traditions. Whether in the days of the Pharisees or the 21st century, these practices are wrong. The hypocrisy of a pastor is as repulsive as any Pharisee that plotted the death of Christ. Our suits and dresses, hats and ties have become the phylacteries and the broad borders. The gold and silver steeples that loom over the doors of expensive churches are as near a cause for the Savior's tears as the temple of Herod ever was. We are guilty of the same errors as our predecessors. We've made temples to worship in and forgotten the temple of the heart. We have dressed the outside of ourselves and left the inside to rot and ruin and decay. We've turned our spiritual well-being over to pastors and teachers and turned away from the voice of Christ within. How shall we escape damnation? Jesus could see the problem was not so much what they were doing as it was that they were so caught and entangled in why they were doing it. It was tradition. It was their way of life. It was the way they always did it. It was the way their father and mother did it. It was normal. This is why he said, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Our chances are slim. Our likelihood of turning around and walking a different direction than the way of our ancestors is remote. The pressure of family, of friends, of political influences, and of our culture is so strong, we may never escape. How can we? If you follow Christ, you will likely be given a road that is divergent to the familiar one. Christ often calls for a difference to be made, whether it is that you'll no longer frequent the same parties as your old friends do, or that Christ compels you to dress differently, or that your schedule of importance and priority changes drastically. You will suffer persecution. This must be taken in stride and overlooked as of little weight in your decisions for life. We cannot give in to the pressure of family or friends. If we do, we become entangled and soon find ourselves managed by them. Religion, too, offers a family of sorts, a family that tolerates no changes toward betterment of oneself if that betterment leaves the majority behind. The Pharisees love the system, the benefits of being somebody and belonging to a reputable group. This is a trap that, once sprung, will hold your pride hostage and your ego for ransom. The system we find today is the same as the one in Jesus' day. Once we are in the system, and the system is in us, we can scarcely find our way out. The trouble is that the system itself is a false god, an idol, a condemned and corrupt replica of the grace, the power of God which was given to us inwardly. If we do not reject the system, it will take us to a point of no return, and our own pride will hold us there. As the Pharisees would not change for fear of the people, we often reject change as soon as it is discovered that change will cost us our reputation, or that we may have to stand alone. The operation of our deliverance by Christ is much like breaking someone out of a prison that they do not want to leave. Listen as the Lord pleads, Isaiah 30:15, "In returning and rest ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." Matthew 23:37 and Luke 13:34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The Pharisees would not, and would not, and finally they found that they could not. Jesus asked them, "How can you escape the damnation of hell?"